As an FBI special agent was my dream job. My whistleblowing was apolitical and in the spirit of upholding my oath. Nonetheless, the FBI cynically elected to close ranks and attack the messenger.
The FBI will crush you. This government will crush you and your family if you try to expose the truth about things that they are doing that are wrong. We are all examples of that.
Joining us now are Steve Friend and Garrett O'Boyle. Thanks for joining us, fellas.
FBI whistleblowers Steve Friend and Garrett O'Boyle both join us now. Gentlemen, so glad to have you on the program. Thank you for your testimony.
We need more folks like you, and I'm sure more people are going to be from your background are going to be giving you guys more intel as you're sharing that with the rest of us. We can kind of see that this is becoming normal for them to be held accountable, because I think especially an institution that we pay their salaries, they need to be held accountable.
I think a lot of people do share our beliefs and convictions. I think they just aren't at the point that Steve and I and others have gotten to. They're too afraid.
Thank you so much for being a guest here on PBD Podcast.
Thanks for having us.
How big is that bloody flag that Steve's got? It's the stone wall of his house. Lots of love, guys. Thanks very much for joining us.
That's Steve Friend, Garrett O'Boyle. Thank you for being with us this morning. More importantly, thank you for speaking out. We appreciate it.
In the information age, but facts are in short supply. Reject the noise, ask bold questions, and pursue the truth with FBI whistleblowers and founding suspendables Garrett O'Boyle and Steve Friend. This is the American Radicals Podcast.
It is the American Radicals Podcast on a Saturday. Finally, we made it through the week. The weekend is finally here. Today is May the 10th. No, the 11th. Today is May the 11th, and we are here on Saturday. It is noontime. Hope everyone here got refreshed and got the chance to sleep in a little bit, because we've got a loaded show today on the American Radicals Podcast. We're going to be talking about a topic that Garrett and I love to talk about, and that is our ex-girlfriend, the FBI, and how they're manipulating a lot of the information that they share with you. We want to get into the real story that's behind that. And we'll do that in a moment. Just as long as you're here, remind you that you smash the like button and follow the show. We're over 2,000 followers, trying to get more every single episode. And let your friends, neighbors, family members know about the American Radicals Podcast, which they can find at rumble.com/amradpod. Show is Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. If you are listening to the audio format of the show, make sure that you do subscribe so you can get the automatic updates to your device, which we drop on iTunes and iHeart and Spotify, all of the podcasting platforms. So before we get to it, we want to make sure we also have an opportunity to thank the show sponsor, and want to thank the newest sponsor, Beef Company, who just came aboard this week, and we are excited to have them with us. Prepper Beef is a pretty cool concept, a pretty cool company. You have all these food storage, long-term prepper type of companies that are out there. These guys, though, kind of saw a gap in the market, and they said, hey, all the meat there is kind of like dog food, and that's not going to be very appetizing, even in case of an emergency. So what we want to do is bring you high-quality American steak, real roasts that you can have that have been freeze-dried, and they're good for like 20 years. This is a veteran-owned company, and they also guarantee you that it's not only American beef, but has no vaccines in it at all. They deal with some ranchers in Texas, and I think that that's noteworthy. So you can go to the proprietary website that's listed for the American Radicals audience, which is AmRad Beef, and you can go there and get 15% off everything that they have available. If it's just one single pack, that's great. If you want to do a layaway plan, you can build up an entire staple that could last you for a year if you wanted to. They have a layaway plan there, which is pretty cool. So I encourage you to go to amradbeef.com and take advantage of everything they have there. Get 15% off of the Prepper Beef supply. And we can get to the topic at hand, though. And in order to do that, we need to bring on my co-host, Garrett O'Boyle at GOB Actual, who's looking svelte and thin and ready for battle. Do you want to drop the news on the American Radicals Podcast audience that you have been kind of sequestering them from the last 40 days?
I do. And it's interesting that you gave Prepper Beef the proper shout out, because I am so excited, not only for Prepper Beef, but for beef in general and for food in general. Now, some of you have mentioned it a little bit. I've noticed in the live chat here and there. Garrett's looking thin. His skin is looking clear. Maybe he trimmed his beard. What's going on there? Oh, Steve mentioned that while they're in DC, he was fasting. Oh, I've been fasting, folks. I have been fasting. My last meal until last night was on Easter. Easter Sunday was my last meal. And it has been an interesting time. Many reasons went into this fast, why I did it, why I didn't really talk about it, why the Lord brought me to a place where I said, I have to do this. He sustained me through this fast. It's been 40 days. It was 40 days, 40 days and 40 nights. And it's been a life-changing experience. I've had a lot of those, a lot of life-changing experiences. And honestly, in the last 20 months or so, there's been a few in there. And one of those primary reasons is the topic for today. It's the FBI and what they've done and their wickedness and why. And I've said it before. I have mourned that loss and that wickedness and that evil that they've done to me and my family. And part of it was bringing it to the Lord in an even more appropriate fashion. And it's something we don't talk about in the West, at least in my experience. And I've been raised in the church my whole life, different denominations here and there and whatnot. But I don't ever hear anybody talk about fasting, or very rarely. And so I decided I need to do a deep dive into this, and I did. And I will start posting probably sometime this coming week, because I've been writing about it every day. So on my Substack, lastline.substack.com, and you can follow along there. And I'm going to post something every day for 40 days or so that I've been working through. But one last thing before I turn it back over to you, Steve, is the timing of this is so interesting.
I'm gonna go there.
You take it then.
All right. Yeah, I think that 40 day mark when you reached it, was, I've kind of come around to saying that serendipity isn't a thing. There's only providence at this point. There's just too many dots that connected in all of our various journeys and mm-hmm. things that overlapped when there were people that didn't know each other and all these weird, strange coincidences. No, they weren't coincidences. They were providential, which leads us to the way I wanted to open the show today as we're getting into the real story. You have a story. I think the audience is pretty familiar with some of it that you've been able to share, but now more has emerged, more about that, the real.
Yeah.
The real Steve Friend is going to talk about the real GOB actual story that emerged on Carrie Pickett, his friend of ours. And she broke a story about a new whistleblower who has emerged to bring information forward about your ordeal at the hands of the FBI. This is an FBI agent accuses top brass of retaliation for defending whistleblower. The way this sort of broke down, and I'll let you take it in a second here, Garrett, is this is a guy who came in at the FBI security division. And we know for a fact that Sean Clark knew when he worked for the security division that you did nothing wrong and still wanted to bleep the mother bleeper and arrange to facilitate your transfer to essentially torture you, and then moved on to greener pastures outside of that. Well, this is another person that came forward, another whistleblower, and they have explained and expressed that they reviewed your case as well, came and said, Garrett's been wronged here. It's not just about bleeping the mother bleeper. He needs to be reinstated. And when this person did that, wouldn't you know, they were reassigned and they faced retribution because the FBI goes after anyone who doesn't toe the party lines. And he named the name. The name is Miss Dina Perkins. So I've sort of teed you up to talk about her. Garrett, why don't you go ahead and take it from there?
Yeah. So you can see I'm wearing my Make Whistleblowers Great Again shirt today. You can get your oars at the-suspendables.com. And I'm wearing it. I wore it on purpose because of this story. because this story coming out. So here you have another whistleblower from SecD. That's the FBI Security Division. I know sometimes our lingo gets lost on people. I know Steve mentioned it too, but we'll try to double down on that for everybody listening at home. But the FBI hates whistleblowers, plain and simple. We talk about it all the time. When we did our First Amendment 2 weeks or so, our First Amendment 101, because that seriously is still what it is. We just scratched the surface. There's so much there. And you would think that people in the FBI would cherish the First Amendment, that they would want to uphold the First Amendment, that they would want to even uphold the First Amendment of their own employees. And Kerry put in the article that the FBI responded something to the effect of that they don't inhibit the First Amendment rights of employees. Look, folks, I was a cop. I was an FBI agent. I was on SWAT. I was an infantryman. I know I don't curse very often anymore, and that's something I have worked on. But quite frankly, when they tell you that, it's bullshit. Okay? Plain and simple, it's bullshit. They are lying to you. They hate you and they hate your freedoms and they want to crush them. I said it when we testified, they will crush you if you speak out against them, if you use your First Amendment, and they will crush you too. Think of this. They will do this to me and my family. They will do it to Steve. They'll do it to Kyle. They'll do it to Marcus. They'll do it to a bunch of other people who aren't public. And then they're going to come and gaslight and say, Oh no, we actually do stand for the Constitution and the First Amendment. And the article talks about how Dina Perkins, so she's relatively high ranking, like a unit chief, I think it says. That's pretty high. That's getting up there. That's moving. It's what we call it. She's a blue flame, no doubt about it. She's trying to just move and move and move. Her superiors are doing nothing about it. It has been almost, let's see, it's May. It's been almost 21 months that I've been suspended. It's been almost 22. Well, according to the paperwork they gave me, they started investigating me in August of 2022. So it's been 21 months that they've been investigating me at a minimum. I'm guessing that they started that before the date they put on the paperwork. And then the last article that Kerry wrote about this back in November said that they knew before I came to Virginia that I didn't do what they said I did. And I saw this on Twitter the other day when this came out. Jen Chang, she's in our chat a lot. She tweeted about it, and I responded to that. And she said something like GOB Actual is vindicated. And I am. And you know what? Quite frankly, I've been vindicated all along. And I responded to that effect. September 26, 2022. That's the day I got suspended. That's the day I showed up to my new unit that I tried out for and was selected for. Because remember, people like Stacey Plaskett will say, oh, they're just a bunch of malcontents. They aren't good employees. They never should have even been in the FBI. They'll say those things, even though it couldn't be further from the truth. They will use perjured testimony by people like Jen Moore from June 3rd, 2023, to then on June 8th, 2023, say, oh, we're going to recommend Mr. O'Boyle criminally to the DOJ, claiming I perjured myself. And then on June 4th, Jen Moore retires. So she's free and clear. And then June 8th, they use her perjured testimony to come after me. And now we find out two SecD whistleblowers within the last 6 months or so come forward and say, oh, actually, he's been wronged all along. And that's what I've said all along. And I've known all along. And I said to Jen in the tweet, I've been vindicated since September 26, 2022. And that is the truth, because I knew then that they were doing this maliciously. I knew then that it was intentionally done. How could it not be? I walk in for my first day. We just had a baby, which the FBI knew. We sold our house, which the FBI knew. We didn't yet close on our house in Virginia, which the FBI knew. They had all of our stuff locked up and wouldn't let us get it. How could I not have known? Oh, let's not forget this part. I knew all along that I didn't do what they said I did. And they knew that too. And they knew that then. And they did it anyways. But they're the good guys? Sure. They're the good guys.
This Dina Perkins revelation, and we've had her name out there for a bit because of the other whistleblowers that talked about her. Talked about her with Jeffrey Veltri, who is now the current special agent in charge of Miami, the Miami field office. So this is a name who's, it's not the first time it's been mentioned off the board. To me, this is secondary corroborating evidence that this woman is up there manipulating. And according to this whistleblower, as much as this story was about this guy saying, look, I said Garrett didn't do anything wrong, I recommended it, and they actually said, no, we're going to keep it on him and we're going to remove you because you're the problem. He's now hell hath no woman like a woman scorned, because I think this guy sat on this for 20 months and he's kind of effeminate in my mind for doing that. I'm trying not to curse. It starts with a B and rhymes with witch. But he also said that Dina Perkins has done this multiple times. Anybody who goes against the party line faces retribution as a result of that, which is similar to what another whistleblower talked about with the deputy director, Paula Bate, who got on a nationwide conference call and told hundreds of people in the FBI that if anyone had a problem with how the FBI was handling the January 6th investigation, they needed to seek employment elsewhere or send them directly to him because he would set them straight. This is an ongoing problem within the managerial structure of the FBI. It's an ongoing problem within the very DNA of the FBI. And I'm relieved and glad that this new whistleblower has emerged. And hopefully Miss Perkins gets pulled in front of Kurt Suzdak, who's a squared away attorney, unlike too many of the representatives that we have from Congress and their attorneys and their investigators. Kurt's actually going to hold her feet to the fire. And if she wants to resign like Jen Moore and go away, it doesn't matter. He's still going to depose her and he's still going to outflank her and catch her in every single lie. Hopefully you have the moral fortitude at this point, Garrett, that you say, no, I'm not going to settle for eight figures. It's going to be nine. That's my sincerest hope.
Yeah. You know, as nice as that would be. And I don't know if I've ever said it publicly. I've told Steve and Kyle and some other guys behind the scenes, like, and my family, of course, I've told, you know, like there's no amount of money that can fix this. There's no amount of earthly justice that could fix what they've done. Like, okay, sure. Yeah. They didn't saw off my head yet. But man, the layers of wickedness that have gone on here that have transpired, to me and my family, man, it's crazy. It's just crazy to me. And like, it's hard to even put into words because like, unless you, and everybody has experiences in their life, difficult things that they've gone through. And like, it's my wife and I, we say it this way. We say, it's the sum total. And like, I could just look at her and say, it's the sum total, dear, you know, like whatever it is, we're struggling with that day, living in this house, living in Wisconsin, dealing with whatever piece that is all tied into the wickedness that resulted from evildoers like Dina Perkins and Sean Clark.
You can't assign a monetary value to it. Yeah. And there's a reason that you go to civil court and it's damages. And then there's also a punitive aspect to it. And the punitive aspect to it needs to be roughly somewhere in the area of $12 to $13 billion, completely defunding the agency.
Yes. Because,
you know, and you're in the middle of it more than me now. My kids are a little bit older. I mean, you got Lucy there and you were creeping around your house like you were in a quiet place, trying not to wake her up. Can you really put a monetary value on a good night's sleep when you have a small child? I mean, you're at your wit's end, and none of us have had a good night's sleep for almost two years now. And that's not just us. I mean, it's guys like Steve Baker, who's 3+ years. I mean, has that guy slept? No.
No.
This is a weaponized agency that needs to feel the wrath, the full wrath of righteousness come down on it. And hopefully this bleeder that we caught here is not just a flash in the pan. I think it's going to have something further than that. I have that feel. We're back on. This isn't coincidence. This isn't serendipity. This is providential. And I have faith that this is actually going to be hugely impactful.
I hope so. And you know, like, you know this, Steve, and maybe even a lot of our listeners do. Maybe you've been able to tell. I've grown tremendously, like, in my walk with Christ throughout this time. And as difficult as it is to say, like, I'm grateful for this trial because of that, because it has shown my faith to be true and not false. And would I go back and like undo all of this if I could? Like, I think like my flesh says yes, but when I'm praying and in the word and like really communing with the Lord, like, the answer is no, because he's used this time to refine me and hopefully to change course of my life to be used for him and what he wants. And I think that's true. And I think it's certainly more true than it's ever been in my life. I mean, how could it not be, you know, like, and we don't say this type of thing very often, but like, please share at least this beginning segment where we're talking about this, because like, this needs to spread, you know, like the FBI needs to be held to account for this. And like, yes, I know God's word says vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I'm not seeking vengeance here. It's because it's not mine to seek. I don't want vengeance. Would I like a little bit of justice? Sure. Are we going to get that on earth? Maybe not.
But I don't think it's wrong to root for right. vengeance.
Yeah.
Like, you could put me down, like, I want the giant finger that says vengeance on it. I'm a pain face, you know, not mine, but I can be a partisan bystander in this, that I am rooting heavily for that to happen.
Yeah. And you know, like, I guess too, like, I think of, just like, man, well, I think of a lot of things, I guess, but with the FBI, like, we just had our politicians, bipartisan support and approval. You know, you mentioned Paul Abate. Wasn't it him? It just came out this week about 702. Wasn't that Paul Abate who said, use it against American citizens? And you've got your politicians voting to keep funding the FBI, to keep giving them all these tools that they're using against you illegally, that they're violating your constitutional rights with, but just keep funding them. And then they do stuff like this to their own employees. What do you think they're doing to you? Like, all of the people they're investigating, are there some righteous cases? Sure. Yeah, there are. But less and less, it seems like it's harder to believe that they have righteous cases because of how evil they are. And like, I don't care what you are, Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, Independent, I don't care. How do you not see it? And then we keep voting in these fools who keep saying, just give them everything they want. Because of what? National security. That's what Christopher Wray was whining about before they reauthorized 702. Oh, the threat is so high. Is it? Is it any higher than it was before 9/11? They might say it is, but is it truly? I don't know. I'm fired up, as you can tell, Steve.
Let's before we get too bogged down in this, we can rein us in. We can move off the X on this one because we'll be on it for hours. But I wanted to actually get to the other point of the show, the original intent of the show that we had until this news dropped on us late on Thursday. The real story. We want to go back and dig into so much of the information that the FBI has put out and interpret it for folks so they actually know the rest of the story. And we'll get to that in a second. I want to thank the second sponsor of the day, and that is MClip. M-clip.com is where you can go, everyone, and go there. This is a American company with patented technology for their money clips. Been around for 20 years, lifetime guarantee that whatever you have will work. I have a money clip inbound to GOB, so he can have one. He can get off of that black binder clip. That's a pretty pathetic looking man. It's time to upgrade. And if you go to m-clip.com and use the promo code suspendable, you get 10% off, and it's store wide. That includes the leather work that they have there, the keychains they have there, all the money clips. The money clips have some ability to do some initial monograms. You can also look at what they have for the baseball. They have an affiliation with Major League Baseball. If you're into that sport, you can get your favorite team, which is pretty cool. And we're now in the season of graduations and going to be going into Father's Day. So these are some really good gifts that you can get. You can get all those, or you can get the suspendables, which has the badge and the suspendable logo on there, all available for you to get. Just use promo code suspendable at m-clip.com, and you can get that and get 10% off. Now let's move on to this list of stories. And I tried to keep it within the parameters, Garrett, of 40 days. The last 40 days that have been so transformative in your life have culminated in these latest revelations. We're going to look inside the 40 days of what the FBI has put out in the last 40. And I like to catalog them because it's fun. I try to troll them a little bit on that. And I think it's informative. I know people appreciate it. I know we get a chuckle out of it. So we're going to move through these.
I appreciate it. I got a list of them. Whenever I see your tweets about this stuff, I'm like, what's that meme with the guy in the yellow suit by the tree? I'm like that guy. Because like I'll see, like you'll just write a little bit. And I'll be like, oh, you know, this is going to be good already. But I also appreciate the layers here, Steve, of just the last 40 days. And you know what? If we did them all, we'd be here for 40 days because there's so many.
It is. It's crazy. They've cut back on them a lot. I think that they've taken note of the information I've put out there. And they're like, ooh, probably not a good look. But their social media team, all the interns there, all the 18 to 22-year-olds, they let some go by the goalie. So in the last 40 days, I've come up with a list. I got to think 10 or 11 of them here. Nice. We'll see what maybe we can get to. We don't want to keep the American Radicals podcast audience until the next show starts on Tuesday, but we'll work through. I want to start on the first one because this was your division, Kansas City division. And this was from May the 3rd, so a week ago. Kansas City man sentenced to 21 years for fentanyl conspiracy that resulted in an overdose death. Well, I dug in and, you know, scrolled all the way down to like paragraph 3. According to the court documents, law enforcement officers responded 4 times to this guy's residence. His name is Dimitri Cattell. It was for drug overdoses, 4 separate occasions. Cattell sold a pill to his sister, which caused her to overdose. Search warrant was executed as a residence on November 10th, 2020. So check your calendar, 3.5 years ago.
That's a while ago.
Law enforcement officers found drug paraphernalia and a handgun. And with a defaced serial number, which was under the pillow of his bed. And Cattell admitted selling the fentanyl to a woman who crashed her vehicle in front of his residence, his girlfriend, and his sister, all who overdosed. All these narcotics were distributed by Cattell at his residence. So again, this was 3.5 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, like initially it's like, oh, is this just like a trap house? And then it's like, oh no, it's his girlfriend and like family members. They're all just a bunch of drug addicts.
3.5 years ago, locals in Kansas City execute a search warrant, recover the dope, recover the gun. And now, wouldn't you know it, the FBI is proud to announce that they got him in prison for 21 years due to the work of
the local
the Department of Justice's Organized Crime Drug Enforcement Task Force, which is called OCDEF, for those who don't speak government acronym, and a co-located strike force initiative from Kansas City. So we've got 2 task forces getting credit for a 3.5-year-old drug overdose case that the FBI can hurt itself on the shoulder, patting itself on the back for the stopping of the drug trafficking that happened in Kansas City.
Like, there's a lot of layers here, I think, because like, I'm fine with a fentanyl dealer going to prison for a long time. Like, that's fine with me. But at the same time, it's like, okay, one, you got local law enforcement responding all these times, probably like in our system when I was a cop, like you'd have little notes for addresses sometimes, like known drug house or whatever, you know, known gang member, whatever it might be. And it's like local PD or county or whatever it was, they do all the work. Somehow FBI catches wind of it. How many man hours of federal time went into the next 3.5 years with 2 task forces trying to get this guy convicted for drug trafficking, when it's like he's probably a druggie and a drug dealer, hence the what's it called,
the defaced firearm,
yeah
the serial number.
And it's like, is this really your drug trafficking overlord that you want to throw into prison for 21 years?
And for those who don't know, the Organized Crime Drug Enforcement Task Force, OCDEF, that means they got a wiretap. It's unlimited funding. Once you get that designation, it has to be multiple agencies working together. The DOJ throws more money than God at you. Mm-hmm. So they probably got a wiretap on this guy. And if all they got him for was selling the fentanyl to his sister and his girlfriend 3.5 years ago, it means that that wiretap resulted in kaput. In right. Nothing. Which, and is, they had to justify spending thousands and thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
So, I know what we'll do. We'll look back and see if anybody got overdosed 3.5 years ago, and we'll charge them with that.
Like, here's the thing with wiretaps too, everybody. Like, when you have a federal wire, it's 24 hours. So you have to have somebody monitoring the system 24 hours a day in case the person's phone rings, or if you have the authority with your warrant for the wiretap to like receive text messages and stuff like that, like filtering those, reading those, are they pertinent, logging all this stuff. So it's hundreds and thousands, probably thousands and thousands of man hours to go into this. And like, you don't get much. Like, I've talked about it before. I think like I had a wiretap on a domestic terrorism case and we did it for 30 days and it didn't result in much of anything. So we closed it down.
And speculation on the man hours. His name is Dimitri Ketel. Do you think there's a chance they might need translators, which is a private contractor that they have to bring in?
Yeah.
And very expensive. So that's, I mean, he might be speaking English, but that name right. makes me think that not American, might not be English speaking.
But then it's like, did you get anything else? Did you spawn any other cases off of this? Maybe we don't know the answer, but it doesn't seem like it. If this is all you got the guy for, if you had something more, wouldn't you pull Dimitri in and then say, hey buddy, guess what, man? Look, we got this audio because we've been tapping your phone, dude. So why don't you come over to Team USA and work for us? You know, like, that's what you do. But they didn't. Instead, they sent him to prison for 21 years. That is it. Yeah, I wonder. Now that I'm like thinking about it more, I'm like, I wonder what's going on, if there's anything else, or if this is it. If this is it, like, it's sad, dude. That's a waste of, I think it's mostly a waste of our taxpayer dollars.
I mean, and not to rag on Kansas City division too much, but I will for you. So we're going to stay in Kansas City for our next story. I tried to bounce it around the country, but these two were just too delicious to give up. So we'll go to the next one. No, I pulled up the wrong one. We'll go to this one instead. This is my neck of the woods. This is Seminole County. So it's Orlando and this one pertains to Orlando felons indicted for firearms offenses. This was May 2nd. Again, just over a week ago, the United States attorney announces the return. This is very, if I scroll down here, actually, it's very short on details. Normally they go with way more than this, but according to the indictment, these guys had previously been convicted of 4 felony offenses and therefore they couldn't own firearms. That's basically all it says. And they just leave it there. And they are excited that they've indicted 2 people for firearms offenses. Well, I mean, I just had to go to the search engine on the internet and type in these guys' names and pull up something different, which came from the, you know, real sheriff, the sheriff of Seminole County, which I will share now. And this was part of a giant operation with 13 subjects being charged in connection to a drive-by shooting.
Why
didn't the FBI talk about a drive-by shooting, Garrett?
Steve, I love the effort you put into this because this is great. I'm like on the edge of my seat myself.
So here's actually what happened. And this happened in January 2023 at 2:00 in the morning. Deputies in this area of an unincorporated area of Sanford, which is close to me. Sanford is actually just over the county line. They observed several vehicles speeding and multiple gunshots being fired from a dark-colored 4-door passenger vehicle aimed at a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van. The subject's vehicle fled the scene but was later located, and the driver was arrested. The driver of the Sprinter van continued to drive. This is the one that got shot up. Drive directly to a nearby hospital, where it was discovered that 6 female occupants riding in the van were shot and wounded. Boy. One woman died as a result of the injuries. So there's an actual fatality here. The other 5 were treated and eventually released. So upon further investigation, the detectives from the sheriff's office determined that 11 male subjects were part of this organized criminal street gang. And it was a murder and an attempted murder charge that they wound up bringing these guys. They brought RICO charges. I mean, it's a pretty big case, and they wound up charging 13 guys for it. But then, you know, the FBI looked at this press release and said, hey, you know what would be awesome? Let's bring 922 charges, federal gun charges, these guys, because they were convicted felons.
Yep.
And we'll charge them federally, even though this entire drive-by shooting happened 1.5 years ago, was fully investigated, and the actual statement was released in February of this year. This was a full-on... almost 1+ year investigation that that the sheriff's county, the Seminole County Sheriff's Office did. And then they just scooped in, adopted it, took credit for two of those guys that they're going to wind up charging. And you tell me from an investigative standpoint, why couldn't, if this was a federal charge, if there's a better route to go, why couldn't the sheriff's deputies go to the U.S. Attorney's Office and say, hey, these guys are prior felons. Can we indict them federally? I think it would be better.
Right. I mean, that would have cut out so much red tape. It would have cut out so many man hours again. And these 922 charges, like this is common. This is common in federal law enforcement. If you can get that, like that's what they'll use. And it makes me think of this saying. It's in more in like the SWAT realm of things. Find work. That's kind of what you say. And it's, you know, you go in a room, it's pretty much clear. And it's like, okay, find the next problem to take care of. Find work. Oh, there's a closet. Okay, go cover down on the closet and get somebody to breach it for you or whatever, you know. I think find work applies across the board to the FBI at this point. Somebody came across, or some, you know, task force officer or somebody on the RICO task force or whatever it was, heard about this case and saw the press release or whatever and said, oh, I found work. I can open a case. And then I can stretch that case out for like a year at least, and then get some stats and, you know, get some 302s done, because I'll do some interviews. Maybe I'll even go talk to the detectives and, you know, do all these things to put into the case file. And even though it's like a throwaway charge that, yeah, the locals could have gone to the federal prosecutors themselves and said, hey, this is a federal crime. You could just, and like the AUSA's office could just do it the rest of the way from there if they wanted to take it.
Dude, this actually goes on. I mean, people think that, oh, well, they're local cops. They can't charge it.
Yeah, you can.
You can. And then there's actually some departments are very good at it. The Lincoln, Nebraska Police Department, they work straight hand in glove with the United States Attorney's Office. They bring federal charges all the time.
That's great. I mean, think of that. Think of that model. Every relatively, I mean, Lincoln's not huge, but any city in this nation can do that. Any county can do that. What do you need the FBI for? I mean, just cast it into the pit, you know, like you don't need it. You really don't.
Especially when they are just coming in after the fact to claim credit. I mean, what resources are they bringing to bear on this one? All they're doing is they're doing the office space thing. They're just taking the file physically from you and taking it to the United States Attorney's Office. We got email now, guys. We can do this.
Uh-huh. And think of this too. It's a great example of the real police again. And I mean, you tweet this all the time, especially before they started closing down their releases on Twitter. But it's almost always this, where the FBI takes the credit of the real police, the detectives, the officers who responded initially to the call, to the hospital, probably. Like, I think of my short time as a cop is only 4 years. And like, but that's what you do. You respond to things, you investigate, you pass it up to detectives, they investigate more, and then the FBI just takes it. Like, is that really what we want? Is that really what we're paying? What did you say it was? $13 billion a year?
About $12 billion.
$12 billion. But the national security and the Iran and China and Russia. And it's like, okay, well, you never talk about any of those. And when you do, you indict a guy who's in Russia, and you're never going to get them. And it's like, I don't.
All right. Back to the real story. I teased the other Kansas City story. I did pull it up. It was out of order here, Garrett. I'll pull this one up for you. Lee's Summit and Belton men indicted for robbing Commerce Bank. I don't know what either one of those areas are.
Lee's Summit's right around Kansas City. It's a relatively nice area, actually.
Okay. So these guys were indicted for this bank robbery. According to the affidavit filed in support of the original criminal complaint, they dropped off a robbery note with a teller and grabbed the cash that was sitting on the counter during a transaction with the customer. It was like a couple thousand dollars. And then they, you know, beat feet, ran. They fled from the bank in a stolen white Dodge Charger with all blacked out tinted windows. See, this is what the FBI does. They lots of filler. They'll look at very descriptive things. They'll be black wheels, rear spoiler, blacked out tailgates, and the word Dodge across the top.
And they posted a picture of it on their Facebook or whatever. It's like,
what? So they're looking for filler here, but let's get down to the actual brass tacks. They were, the vehicle was wrecked in the vicinity of this intersection. The investigators saw them running away from the vehicle. Ross, who's one of their names, was found by a police dog. So they sent out a canine. And last I checked, there's no FBI canine units.
No, there's two. There's two canines, and they're in Quantico.
And he was hiding behind a garage or a residence. This is just a straight police foot chase. And they found the other guy hiding under a pile of rubbish. How very federal of you. And they were arrested immediately after this bank robbery, which happened in April. And now the FBI is excited to say that they have indicted both of these guys for robbing the bank near Kansas City. Again, this was great police work. They got a description of the vehicle. They pursued them and they said, hey, let's call out the canine asset and track these guys down, which they did, in the same shift. It wasn't even a full investigation, multiple days, weeks, months. It was that day. Guys in uniform, not even the detectives, tracked these guys down.
Real police again. Like, that's awesome. That's what we pay our cops to do. That type of thing right there. Like, that's great. You know, like I think of some nights. Now this probably happened in the daytime, but which is actually even better because day shifts, typically they're not going to get after it like that, but they did. So kudos to them. That's great. It's awesome. Actually, kudos to Lee Summit PD and whoever else was involved because that is good police work. But I think of like my time on, as a cop, I work nights mostly, second shift and third shift. But sometimes, man, like, it's not that busy. You're not running call to call. Sometimes you are. And sometimes you're getting a bunch of traffic stops in the night and sometimes you aren't. And sometimes, but that call, it's game time, like can happen at any moment. And that call came and they responded like the professionals they clearly are. And the canine, great tool, great asset. Love it. My PD that I worked at, they now have canines. When I was there, they didn't. I don't know how many they have, 3 or 4, I think. But because not a huge city, 75,000 people roughly, but maybe they have, I don't know, whatever. They have them now, which is great. Otherwise, we would call in the county. And I remember one night there was like this bolo, which is be on the lookout for or whatever, but for this like stolen car. And it was like a domestic dispute. Boyfriend took the girlfriend's car, whatever. Well, of course, the next night he shows up like at the apartment. And there was like a cop hanging out down there because he's like, this guy's going to show up, because like people, man, like you just learn people, and it's like, of course, this dude's going to show up. He's, wants to go back to baby mama or whatever and like work it out. And it's like, no, dude, you're going to get arrested for domestic and stealing her car. And he spots like one of the cruisers and he like starts trying to creep away. But by that point, like, the whole shift, because it was relatively quiet, the whole shift's like creeping. And then we get into this vehicle pursuit, and I end up, just the way it worked out, like being in the lead, and he's just trying to book it out of the city, and he ends up crashing. And then it's like starting to mist, like rain. And so we get the canine, they respond and they come, and we do what you just read about in this story, and we do a canine track. And we find the guy and he's hiding in like a thicket of trees and he's not coming out. And so the canine went in and the canine got him.
Send the land shark. Send the land shark. Look, I mean, I know I've been on enough operations where you have a canine handler there. They call him in case, he flees and you're gonna need to track him. But if for us, they had to be, it was another threshold of threat had to be there to authorize the bite. So they would get, they would do the briefing and then they would have the canine come up and be like, hey, I'm here in support. He's not a violent person. So I'm here to track if necessary. Okay. Or if it was like a bad dude, be like, hey, just so you all know, bite's authorized. And we'd all just be like, if he's going to run, let him run. Cause we want to see him get bit. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I think of this one I just said, it was the canine handler's first bite. And I think he was like a little worried about it. And it's like, dude, you've got nothing to worry about here. Like, considering the totality of the circumstances that led to this. And then, like, you know how it is. Because, like, well, maybe not everybody's this way, but it's like, you don't really want to get into a use of force because it's like more paperwork and, you know, more charges and more just like, just comply. Like, will my verbal judo be enough? Will the dog barking be enough? Will me yelling, I'm going to send the dog, I'm going to send the dog, I'm going to send the dog, be enough? And for whatever reason, the guy thought, like, I'm hiding good enough? I don't know. And it's like, nah, dude, you're good. Like, this use of force is completely justified here. And there was, I remember, it's because, like, then, you know, because it was our arrest, even though, so we're all involved, and we got to go, you know, to the hospital because, like, he had, like, a, you know, it got his calf, and it got him good, like, he needed surgery. He had like a puncture through the calf and just some meat dangling from it. And when we get to the hospital, you know, he's cuffed to the gurney or whatever, not gurney. I don't know if that's the right word, but the hospital bed. And we're like pushing him through the ER to take him to like X-ray or I don't even remember whatever. I don't know. And he just looks over at me because I'm like walking next to him, and he just looks up at me and he goes, I fucked up, didn't I? And I looked down at him. I was like, yes, you did. And he was like, yeah, I know.
I don't even want to take you to jail after that. Like,
I know.
I think you got like the message.
Yeah.
Just don't try it. Because uh-huh. The real police are here to actually do the police work.
Yep.
Unlike the FBI. all right. Let's, we got a couple more. I got a few more that I want to definitely throw up because these are some good ones. This is some good eating in here. This comes from Atlanta. You know, I'm from Georgia, so I felt a little bit of a pull here on the heartstrings that we're going to we're going to stay on the topic of bank robber. This guy is a repeat bank robber, and he was sentenced. So this is actually further along the line of the prosecution process of the criminal justice system. And this happened again, May 2nd. Atlanta repeat bank robber sentenced. As described in the court documents, this guy's name is McCloskey. He entered the Ameris Bank in Waycross, which is just outside of Atlanta, and handed a note to the teller demanding money. After receiving the cash, he ran to a waiting vehicle and fled the scene. Waycross Police Department investigators located the getaway vehicle and its owner, admitting giving McCloskey a ride to the bank. Investigators learned that McCloskey and his girlfriend took a taxi to a local motel, used the cash of the robbery to pay for the taxi. Officers took McCloskey into custody at the motel after a struggle that resulted in the kidnapping conviction on state charges when McCloskey refused to allow his girlfriend to leave the room. Done that day. And they actually got a kidnapping charge, which is pretty sweet in Georgia. It's extremely broad. This is going down a slight detour here. If you restrict someone's movement in any way in the state of Georgia, it can be construed as a kidnapping.
Oh,
so like
interesting.
They probably did a surround of the room. We're calling him out. Hey, come on out, come on out. And he probably grabbed her arm. Was like, no, don't go out. That's kidnapping.
Mm.
So they jammed him up hard, which they should do. He robbed a bank.
Right.
And the FBI is like, oh, well, now that the danger is gone, we're going to swoop in here and we will get him sentenced for being a repeat bank robber because he'd robbed a bank a number of years earlier than that. Again, Waycross Police Department did all the heavy lifting here, and the FBI swoops in and is going to claim the credit proudly. They're putting this on their social media. They're hoping that people don't read the actual press release, which is not long, very
right.
short, and you're not going to get the actual real story. Little rapid fire. We'll throw in the next one because I think this one was actually funny. The name, this was another robbery, wasn't a bank. This happened in Philadelphia, inside Philadelphia city limits. So this is going to be the Philadelphia Police Department. He was sentenced to more than 15 years in prison for back-to-back armed robberies. So, and again, we're to the very specifics where they say like at approximately 8:06 PM. And this happened in 2023.
They pulled that right from the police report, you know, like the first line at approximately 8:06 PM, I was dispatched to such and such, you know?
So the name of the smoke shop he went to was called the Illadelph, which I just,
a smoke shop.
Yes. He asked the clerk for a cigarillo wraps and handed over the money to pay for them. And when the clerk opened the register, he produced a gun, racked the slide. He didn't even have it loaded.
Oh, geez.
He did the Hollywood thing, pointed the weapon. He probably didn't have bullets. Yeah. That makes me think that. And he got $300. And then 10 minutes later, he went to a liquor store and robbed them. Shortly after the second robbery, two officers with the Philadelphia Police Department observed him standing on the corner. And the officers attempted to stop him. He ran. And after a short foot chase, he was arrested. Police officers searched him. They found a loaded handgun. Officers also seized his jacket, which matched the jacket that was described in the robbery.
And the FBI took the credit.
This was 8:06 p.m. Do you think he was in custody by 9:30?
Yeah. Like, hey, you know, I got that guy. I heard it over the air. I see him. He matches the description. I got him. Like, and then the FBI moves in. On a side note, if I'm in Philadelphia, like if I was in Philadelphia today and I've decided to rob anywhere, it would be like Pat's cheesesteaks. That would be amazing. I would love that.
You're going to have to be careful here. You're going to really have to hold back and be disciplined because I don't want to be, I feel bad for your wife the next day.
Yeah.
To come to fruition here.
I told her, I'm like, just meat, carnivore, got to go hard carnivore. I will stray, you know, I will. I'm not going to be super psycho about it. At least, well, maybe, I don't know. But, cause yeah, my stomach, all that, but dang, a cheesesteak with the bread and the cheese. I'll just dream about it, you know?
So this is a different one that I've got here. And this is, man, the FBI has been sharing a lot of this. They do it every Friday. They call it Fine Art Friday.
Oh, dude.
They put out things about their art squads that are out there doing this great work. And I don't know, maybe their social media team likes to watch that movie White Collar or something like that, or the TV show. But they've been putting out all this. And FBI Boston, I mean, I'm probably giving away trade secrets here to the security division that's going to be watching this program. FBI Boston is one of your worst ones. They still put out really dumb stuff. So FBI Boston put this out, and it's about their art team.
Stay tuned, people. Everybody watch FBI Boston's Twitter over the next week or two and see if it tanks.
So this is from FBI Boston. 22 historic artifacts were repatriated by the United States to the people of Okinawa. 22 artifacts, some of which date back to the 18th and 19th centuries. This represents a significant piece of Okinawan history. Well, I mean, I watched some White Collar. They're doing some complex, comprehensive investigations here, Garrett. And FBI Boston recovered the artifacts last year after a Massachusetts family was sorting through their late father's personal effects and came across them in the attic. And that was enough. And they turned them over to the FBI because they found them. And they said, hey, dad was in World War II, but he was in Europe. He wasn't in Asia. I don't know how he came across these. They checked the FBI's the family actually checked the FBI National Stolen Art file and determined that the artifacts were on there. And then walked into the FBI and turned them in.
This is even worse than all these others where it was the real police. It's the family.
We found
this. We did our own investigation and hey, you got this stuff. We're going to give it to you. Like, yay, FBI. Yay. Here's $12 billion and a new headquarters in FISA 702. Yay. Keep retaliating against whistleblowers. Yay.
Transitioning to the next one as we're going here, man, I'm rapid fire. And this one, the FBI does continually put out things about sexually exploiting children and child pornography. One, because it is important work, even though it's low priority in the FBI, sadly. And two, because I think that they don't think Steve Friend will criticize him for that. Well, they erred in that one. This was from Oxford, Mississippi. Oxford man charged with sexually exploiting a minor. According to the charging documents, and this is July 2023, so about 6 months ago, Michael LaMountain sex trafficked a minor victim and coerced the minor victim to engage in sexually explicit conduct for the purpose of producing child pornography. It is further alleged that LaMountain coerced three other minor victims to engage in sexually explicit conduct for the purpose of producing child pornography. Feels like a little bit of a filler there. Cut and pasting. But LaMountain was arrested in August 2023 and subsequently charged by state authorities in Worcester Superior Court with rape of a child, aggravated indecent assault, and battery of a child, depicting minors in sexual conduct, human trafficking of a minor, possession of child pornography, distribution of child pornography, and intimidation of a witness. So the reading between the lines here, which is not that hard to do, the Worcester local authorities arrested this guy and charged him. And while he was in jail, awaiting whatever processes were going to be going on, the FBI said, we'll just take that bet.
Dude, you know, like, all of those charges sound completely appropriate to me. Like, even better, get a millstone, tie it around that guy's neck, and throw him into the ocean. But again, man, real police doing real police work, getting a real criminal. Like, when it comes to, like, VCAC, violent crimes against children stuff, this, as bad as child porn is, and, like, Steve, correct me if I'm wrong, but could every single FBI agent work VCAC and the FBI not run out of work? Is that accurate?
Yes, I've consistently said that you would double, if you doubled the workforce of the FBI and made it just violent crimes against children, which is the VCAC, which they just changed, actually, it's CEOU, Child Exploitation Operations Unit.
Oh, okay.
They just keep changing it.
People, this happens a lot too. The FBI will change the name of some headquarters unit or program or whatever, even though it's the exact same thing. And they'll do that because somebody who was in the position to do that wants to put a bullet point on their internal resume so they can get promoted again, so they can become the next Dina Perkins. Because the FBI, if you haven't realized it yet, they like to promote the most wicked ones. And so somebody says, I got a new name for VCAC. And then they come up with it, and then 18 months later, they're gone. But the name's stuck, and it's there for a couple of years until somebody else changes it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this is a horrendous problem in law enforcement. It's one of the worst. And people like you who worked it, like, man, you guys are really doing God's work. And but again, like, this is the type of violent, you know, criminal offender who's doing this type of, you know, exploitation of a child that we really need to go after, like, the most, because he's engaging in all of that. Like, oh, dude,
he was arrested. He was in custody, and then the FBI swept in.
Yeah.
So if he's arrested, the investigation's sewn up again, the local detective should be able to go over to the United States Attorney's Office and say, hey, you guys have a lot harsher sentencing guidelines. Here is my materials that I have here. Yeah, can we bring a federal charge?
Right.
That's very easy to do. Right. The FBI doesn't need to exist. They don't need to be the middleman. They certainly don't need to be claiming credit for it.
They love that part. It's disgusting, actually. It's disgusting.
I got one this one actually required a little bit of investigation because, you know, the language of the press release, this came from out of Rhode Island. It got, I don't know, I got my spidey sense up a little bit, and I had to do one extra level, you know, like a Google search to actually come up with what happened on this one, Garrett. So you'll appreciate this. Serial bank robber admits to 4 bank robbery charges. He robbed 4 banks, right? And this is all it says. His name is Vaughn Watros, pled guilty today to 4 counts of bank robbery. The defendant's sentences will be determined at a future date by a federal district judge. That's it, right? Like, he admitted to robbing banks and they gave the dates. That's it. And I'm like, that seems kind of thin for the agency that's supposed to be investigating bank robberies, right? Yes. So I know, I'll type in his name and arrest and see what pops up. This pops up, Garrett.
Cranston
police arrest suspect in multiple bank robberies. Well, let's find out what the real story is. Yes. Cranston Police Department announced an arrest. Okay. The suspect was identified as Vaughn Watros with last known address, blah, 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 in Providence, Rhode Island. Watros was taken into custody early Sunday evening by members of the Providence Police Department on a Cranston Police Department arrest warrant. So he had robbed this bank and he'd run away. Members of the Cranston Police Department's Uniform Patrol and Detective Division, this is uniform and detectives working together. They responded to the Santander Bank on Thursday afternoon following the report of a man who had entered the bank and passed the teller a note demanding money. The suspect left the bank with a sum of currency and fled into a surrounding neighborhood. Nobody was injured. Immediately following the robbery, detectives began to work with the bank security officials on identifying the suspect through video images of the crime. During the investigation, detectives learned that a similar crime had taken place in North Providence approximately half an hour earlier, with a suspect matching the bank robber's description. It was also found that this individual may have committed additional bank robberies in the city of Providence following investigations of the three jurisdictions. This is multiple jurisdictions working together, all local guys.
Yep.
And the Cranston Police Department obtained an arrest warrant for Watros on January 23rd, 2021. And he was arrested. And the FBI
years later
swoops in and takes credit for it in April of this year.
Dude,
that's what we do.
It's comical, man. It's comical at this point. You got real police doing real police things all over this country, and the FBI with a way bigger budget, way better pay, and they're just swooping in, taking the credit. Like, it's
over bank robberies too, which theoretically right. FBI is supposed to be working. I mean, and they don't. They're happy to claim credit for working it, but they're not.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take this to another one, the gun charges, right? So the FBI loves the gun charges.
One thing about bank robbery, robbery. Have you ever woken up and said, you know, I'm going to rob two banks today? Like what? Dude.
I think that you and I probably would be like staking the place out. We'd have an ops plan. There would be like a really thought out process.
Dude.
And the guys were robbing banks because we're not dumb enough to actually think, oh, I could definitely rob a bank and get away with it. The people that think they're going to get away with it don't put that thought in there. And then when they don't get, you know, they get a couple hundred bucks that are on hand at this small local credit union, they're like, well, I got away with it for 20 minutes. Let's go to the next
one. Bottle of Stoli, you know, and some Black and Milds. But really, actually, because you're right about that, there was this awesome bank robbing story out of Washington State. I don't know how many years ago now, but it was guys from Ranger Battalion who like hatched this plan, and they did what you just said. They came up with like a solid plan. I will find the link because there's a really good like short YouTube documentary. It's worth watching. Like it's a very interesting story. But yeah, you're right. It's like if you're gonna rob a bank, like do it right. Like get a plan, come up with some ways to try to escape. Like make the real police have to actually work at their job. They still won't need the FBI, but
No.
All right, better, fire away, Steve.
Do better, bank robbers.
Yeah.
We'll do this one. Possession of a machine gun results in federal prison sentences for two men. This is out of Shreveport, Louisiana.
So,
I mean, the FBI loves themselves some gun crimes because it's always like really easy to do.
Yeah.
Because the guy used.
Why doesn't the ATF take these?
It seems like we should just get rid of one or the other, right?
Yeah, because I had a case like this with like machine guns, and it's like, what? ATF. And I worked with them a lot. I like would ask them questions, all sorts of stuff. And they were like willing to work with me. And I'm like, why don't you guys take this? Like, isn't this your thing?
Well, they're not even hiding this one. And this happened in 2022, September of 2022. Check a calendar over a year and a half ago. Officers in Shreveport Police Department responded to an armed person's call. Somebody called because they said somebody's got a gun. I mean, you're in Louisiana. Something's weird. It was at the Peach Street Apartments in Shreveport. Upon arrival, officers observed an individual carrying an AR-style rifle get into the rear driver's side of a vehicle in the parking lot of the apartment complex. The officers made contact with the armed passenger, asked him to step out of the vehicle, observe the rifle on the floorboard. Officers ordered the driver, later determined to be the subject, out of the vehicle. They searched the vehicle. They found three firearms, including a Glock 40 caliber pistol with an extended magazine and a Glock 9mm pistol with an extended magazine and a Palmetto Arms 7.62 AR rifle, which had previously been seen by the officers. Through their investigation, these are all guys in uniform, not even detectives.
Mm-hmm.
Through their investigation, the officers learned that two of the firearms had been reported as stolen. So we have two guys in possession of two stolen guns, and there was a drop-in sear, which made the AR-style rifle into an automatic gun. So that's why they get the machine gun label. The officers located a small backpack containing prescribed medication. And none of the backpack was another pistol, with a Glock switch, a conversion device installed. So they had another machine gun.
Wow.
Firearm was registered to that guy too. Law enforcement agents retrieved the photos and a record search of the National Firearms Registration and transfer record showed that the Glock switches were not registered. So they had unregistered machine guns, essentially, that the local guys responded to an apartment complex, made contact with people immediately, and arrested them immediately in September 2022. But the FBI is very happy to say that they got federal prison sentences for these two men and is bragging about the length of time, which are 57 months and 42 months, respectively. So, you know, 4.5 years and 3.5 years.
Yeah. And doing again, real police work resulted in this. And then like 2 years almost later, FBI takes credit. DOJ takes credit. Thanks, real police. Appreciate you. Give us our $12 billion.
All right. I'm coming up here. I've got two more to go. So we'll get these in. And then I do have a palate cleanse. But before I do that, I just want to thank the final sponsor of the day. That's going to be the OG sponsor of the American Radicals podcast. That's the True Earth Pharmacy. Go to trueearth.co and you can use our promo code, which is AMRAD24. And that gets you a 10% discount on everything at the store. That includes all the fertilizer products that they have there, which can help you. You might have a sick tree here and there. In Florida right now, I mean, it's definitely very hot. It was like 97 one day this week. But I know across the Midwest, you know, it's springtime is coming and people are trying to get their gardens ready. If you're a homesteader, these fertilizers that True Earth has are really good and really effective. And then the supplements are also really good and really effective. I use them every day and can personally attest that have been effective in my life. So go to trueearth.co and use promo code AMRAD24 and you can get 10% off the entire store. All right. The second to last story that I have today, and this comes again from Mississippi. This is from Gulfport, Mississippi. Throw this up. And Pascagoula man pleads guilty to possession with intent to distribute methamphetamine. So we're on the dope. We're on the drug dealer.
Mississippi and meth.
Yep. So according to court documents, October 24th, 2023, clear plastic bag containing suspected methamphetamine was purchased from Timothy Harper. Subsequent laboratory test of the substance confirmed that Harper sold 55.3 grams of meth. That's it. No further information.
Thanks for that wonderful press release.
So now I'm going to have to give a little bit of deductive reasoning on this one, Garrett. And I'll maybe you can correct me if you think I'm wrong. I think I'm right. This is very short, very brief. And it says it was sold. So I'm guessing that this was sold to a local police department's undercover or to informant.
Yeah.
And then the locals said, hey, we might have a federal amount here. And they brought it to the FBI. And the FBI was all too happy to say that they were responsible for stopping this drug trafficking that was going on there. Because in the very end of the press release, it says the case was investigated by the FBI and the South Mississippi Metro Enforcement Team. So the dope team, Mississippi.
Yep. That's what happened. I mean, like, I'm not a betting man. Maybe when I get all my back pay, I'll wager, but I won't. But if I was a betting man, yes, that's what I'd put my money on. It was a CI or an undercover. Probably looked like me. Like,
they would have had a wiretap if it was an FBI case.
Oh, yeah. They would have had all sorts of, yeah.
They don't just work regular dope slinging cases and then bring charges. They try to get an OCDEF, an Organized Crime Drug Enforcement Task Force thing up and spun up. Get the wiretap. You want to check all the boxes, use all the money. Mm-hmm. You don't just say like, hey, he sold to an informant and we're bringing charges.
Right. Yes, that's, like, we got it.
It's too small.
It's in the bag. And it's like, we got to spend the money. Otherwise, we're not going to get it next year because we're going to ask for $13
billion. All right. This last one is not the like the ones we've been sharing about. These are all local cases, all in the process of prosecution. Either there was arrest, there was an indictment, a sentencing guideline. Something went down. A bad guy's in jail, right? This one, though, is about getting the clout, getting the glory without any follow through. And the FBI likes to do this one too. And they will hide behind whatever language, whatever high tech stuff that they need to say to confuse you. But this isn't actually a very long press release. It didn't take me very long to read through it and say, huh, something's missing here. Let's see if Garrett can pick up on what's missing. We'll throw this up. Title is Moldovan Botnet Operator Indicted for Role in Conspiracy to Unlawfully Access Thousands of Infected Computers Throughout the United States. All right, stay with me, guys. Stay with me. I'm not a tech guy, so I'm going to try to break down as best I can. I can't talk about all the cyber crimes that are going on here. The press release is I'm not out of my depth on it, so I think everyone on the American Radicals podcast audience will be able to track along. So according to the indictment, this is March 2021 to November of 2021. Again, 3 years ago. His name is Alex.
So much time. Like, oh.
Oh, we'll find out. We'll get an answer on that one for you. So his name is Alexander Lefteroff. And his co-conspirators operated and controlled a botnet comprising thousands of infected computers throughout the United States. Lefteroff's co-conspirators allegedly included coders who used their technical expertise to maintain and update the botnet over time. During the conspiracy, Lefteroff and his co-conspirators are all unnamed. I wonder why. We don't know who they are. They stole victims' login credentials, which was their username and their password, from infected computers, and then used the credentials to gain access to the victims' accounts at financial institutions and payment processors and retail establishments as means to steal money from victims. So legitimate cybercrime, okay? They stole your login, they stole your password, and they identity theft to take your money. To further monetize the scheme, Lefteroff allegedly leased the botnet to other co-conspirators by providing them access to the infected computer so they could rip you off too.
He's just an entrepreneur, Steve.
Lefteroff and his co-conspirators also provided access to the botnet for the purpose of distributing malware, including ransomware, to infected computers within the botnet so then other hackers could monetize this entire scheme. As the owner and operator of the botnet, Lefteroff allegedly received a percentage share of his profits derived from the scheme. So he was really an entrepreneur. He was kind of farming out this thing that he'd done here. All right. <For him. laughs> So there's one last thing. And before I ask you if you were able to ascertain what was missing here, the indictment against Lefteroff was returned on December 28th, 2021. But they put this statement out in April of 2024.
And it's an indictment. I would say, where is Lefteroff or whatever his name is?
You are a trained investigator. You know what? They should probably reinstate you to the FBI. Guess who's on the most wanted list?
Look at this. FBI. Look at this. Look at this right here.
He is there. They put him on the FBI most wanted list. That's a picture. If you know he's your neighbor, you maybe should do the right thing and report him.
Turn him in.
But I think it's interesting that the FBI indicted a guy where he's not living in America.
Yeah.
He's living in Moldova.
They do this a lot. I said doo-doo.
No hope ever of arresting this guy, or very little hope, we'll say at the very least.
He's probably still doing this stuff. Like, why wouldn't he? He seems to be pretty good at it.
And but it gets them some international intrigue. They can say this was an international criminal conspiracy, and we indicted him, and we're doing all this great work on cyber stuff. I mean, the victims aren't getting their money back. Are you kidding me? No.
Yeah.
And we're going to put him on. And then the other thing is we put him on the most wanted list. So they're going to have basically unlimited resources to throw at this case now because it's a most wanted criminal. And they can either make their case over, if they do actually arrest him, they could say, I arrested an FBI top tenner, and you know, that's my career case. Or they will just have unlimited funds thrown at it, at a case that they can keep open forever because he's on the list. The case agent never has to actually, they're never going to be like, hey man, what's going on with that Alexander case? Why ain't you brought him in yet?
Yeah. You just got a case open and dude, like, Or where's the league at? Like, I don't know where the Moldova league at is. Maybe that's like based in like Bucharest or somewhere over there, but it's, what are they going to do about it too? Like, they're on vacation in Europe essentially is what, and then they get to come back and get promoted again is typically how that works. And it's like, they're not working tooth and nail to like go over to Moldova and like try to find this dude or work with the authority, you know, like, oh man, it just cast it into the fire.
Amen. And we need local cops doing the real work here, which is why we really wanted to bring you guys the real story today, and especially highlight the guys in uniform, the detectives that are out there every single day. You know, I when I was in the FBI, yeah, you're law enforcement technically, but I always sort of felt guilty if there was like, hey, we want to acknowledge law enforcement. I'm like, I'm not a first responder. I'm certainly not taking advantage of the 10% discounts on law enforcement appreciation.
Yeah. Free coffee, a quick trip.
Yep. And unfortunately, too many people, I don't think, share our sentiment within the FBI, which is why they continue to put out these sorts of stories, which is why they continue to go after guys like Garrett for what he's done. And that is the right thing at the right time. In the right way for the right reason. Palate cleanse. Yeah, again,
let me hit something first though.
Go for it.
I should have done this earlier. Well, actually, first, I know I'm biased. My experience in the FBI, the best agents were cops. They were former cops. There were a couple anomalies, and like I never worked with Kyle, but I imagine he would have been one. And there were a few others, but by and large, the very best ones were dudes who were cops before. And same sentiment as Steve, though. Like once I got to the FBI, I thought, oh, I made it. Like this is the top of the mountain. Then you start to learn about the FBI and realize like, oh, they do a lot of this. They just steal the credit from the real police. But yeah, same, man. It's and by and large, you're working banker's hours. Like when I got to go out in the middle of the night to do surveillance or whatever like that, it was awesome. It was fun because I wasn't working third shift. I was working first shift. And so it's like, oh, my case has actually taken me out into the world for a little bit. Or like, you know, we get to follow this dude up to Salina or wherever, you know, whatever we're doing. Like, it was great when you got to do that because you didn't get to do it very often as an FBI agent. But I wanted to hit this section here from Ecclesiastes chapter 7. And, you know, honestly, quite frankly, I probably should have hit it first before I ranted and raved because it's about prudence. Or at least that's my take, is it's about being prudent. And I don't know, maybe I wasn't prudent enough in my remarks. And you could probably tell, yeah, I'm angry. It's, you know, how do you write this? Like that, I've said it all along. You know, I'm still human. I still sin. I still fail. And maybe I didn't, you know, I'm sure a lot of this anger is actually righteous and justified. But this says, starting in verse 15 of Ecclesiastes 7, in my vain life, I have seen everything. There is a righteous man who perishes in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man who prolongs his life in his evil doing. Boy, isn't that the truth? I mean, think of just some of the stories we went through today. Then it goes on. It says, be not overly righteous and do not make yourself too wise. Why should you destroy yourself? Be not overly wicked, neither be a fool. Why should you die before your time? It is good that you should take hold of this, and from that, withhold not your hand, for the one who fears God shall come out from both of them. And yeah, I mean, really, it just boils down to prudence. And we need to be prudent. We need to speak the truth. We need to push forward the suspendables. All of us, we need to keep pushing. Do any of us think they're going to stop coming for us? No, we don't. We know they will. I think I mentioned it on Twitter when this story came out from Kerry Pickett about how if the FBI had an honest bone in their body, well, one, they wouldn't have suspended me in the first place. And two, I would have gotten a call the other day after that story broke and said, hey, we're going to reinstate you and give you all your back pay and everything because we really screwed up. But hey, we're still waiting on that call and I'm not going to hold my breath.
Man, look, they're just the wrong people. They're not born. None of them were born for such a time as this. I think we're just trying to highlight it until things are made right. We'll just stay all over it, especially on this podcast. These are always fun. We like to talk about like lots of serious stuff, and these are serious, but at the same time, sure. Yeah. You know, this is right. This is a 78 mile an hour slider that was hung and we just need to park it. And that was great because they were all within the last 40 days during your trials and tribulations of this fast. And I do want to send especially you off with a smile, which is why the Crime Squad episode 5 is back for today's palate cleanse.
I knew it.
On the American Radicals podcast. Throw this up and then we'll say our goodbyes.
Double Gloucester? Nope. Dorset Blue Vinny? No. Free.
Oh no.
Oh, come on, YouTube.
Rogue Force, have a yard?
Not today, sir, no.
Limburger? I do have Limburger.
Ah, excellent. I'll have that then.
It's a bit runny.
Oh, I like it runny.
It's actually very runny, sir.
No matter.
It may be runnier than you like.
I don't care how f***ing runny it is. Hand it over with all speed.
All right, fine.
Get him.
It's a federal crime to sell overly moist Limburger cheese.
Got him. Yeah.
I see you cockroaches. You want to play games? Okay, I'll play with you. You want to play rough? Okay. Say hello to my little friend!
It's a federal crime to sell egg spaghetti that's less than 0.06 inches in diameter.
Got him! Yeah!
So I gave her all the cash I had, and I co-signed her car loan. It's getting serious, man. Like, she's gonna stop dancing soon, too. Like, she's just doing that to get through med school. Trust me, I believe her. And, I know her husband's still technically in the picture, but that's just because of the kids. I think it's all really gonna work out. Just don't say anything, okay?
Yeah, sure, whatever.
Get him!
It's a federal crime to not report a train wreck.
Got him! Yeah!
Even with the YouTube commercials, the Crime Squad is always amazing.
It's the best, man. I really appreciate that Limburger cheese one being in Wisconsin and all. Like, but just think of some of these laws we have. It's just land of the free, bro. Land of the free. That's what they'll tell you.
Allegedly. Allegedly. Yeah. All right. That'll do it for the American Radicals podcast here on a Saturday. We'll be with you again on Tuesday, 8:30 Eastern on Rumble, rumble.com/amradpod. Guys, have a great weekend, and we will see you back here next week.
You've been listening to the voice of the Suspendables on the American Radicals podcast. Follow us on rumble.com/amradpod.